building the Beis HaMikdash, building a Mishkan. And the Pasuk says, V'asu li mikdash, they shall make for me a sanctuary, V'shachanti b'socham, and I will dwell in their midst. So the Archaim HaKadosh already points out that the Pasuk should have said, V'shachanti b'tocho, I dwell in its midst, in the midst of the Mishkan. Why does it say, V'asu li mikdash, V'shachanti b'socham? I think he quotes Chazal, B'soich kol echad ve'echad. And Hashem is saying, if the Jewish people will build a Mishkan, so the divine presence will not just dwell in the Mishkan, but the divine presence will dwell in the midst of every single Jew. Every single Jew has to build in his heart, so to speak, a Mikdash. He himself is a receptacle for Hashra'as HaShchina, for the Shechina to dwell upon him. And this week, actually, I was listening to a shiur from the Rav that he gave in the Maria Shul in the 1970s, where he discussed this idea. He discusses that the Pasuk says, I think it says, Ish imo v'oviv tiro v'shamsosai tishmoru ani Hashem. And then there's another Pasuk that says, Ish imo v'aviv tiro v'es mikdashai tiro. Pasuk says in one place, you should fear your parents, and you should fear the mikdash. And it says also as well, you should fear your parents and you should fear Shabbos. So what's the connection between these mitzvahs of fearing your parents and fearing Shabbos, fearing your parents and fearing the mikdash? So Soloveitchik explained there a very interesting idea, but he quoted the Gemara, that the Gemara says in Kiddushin about a certain Amoira, then when his mother would walk into the room, he would stand up and he said that the Shechina just walked into the room. That a person's parents, they somehow in a certain way represent Hashra'as HaShechina. There's Hashra'as HaShechina in a person's parents. And you have to give honor and respect and have awe for your parents, Rav Soloveitchik explained, because there is a certain presence of the Shechina in a person's parents, and as well in Shabbos, and as well in the Beis HaMikdash. So the common denominator between these three mitzvos, Rav Soloveitchik says in that shir, is that they all represent a certain aspect of Hashra'as HaShechina. So we see here in this pasuk that we ourselves can become a receptacle for the Shechina to reside in our midst. The Shechina could reside in us. So how do we accomplish that? How does the Shechina reside in us? So I saw in a sefer a quote that we have later in this week's parasha, a few psukim later, when the Torah tells us about the different utensils that need to be constructed to have in the Mishkan. So we know we have the Aron, we have the Shulchan, we have the Menorah, we have the Mizbeach. So already the Medrash points this out, that if you look in the pasuk, for example, when it talks about the Shulchan, it says, Va'asisa Shulchan, you shall make a Shulchan, you shall make a table for the bread. When it talks about the menorah, it says, Va'asisa, you shall make, in the singular, Menorat Zahav Tahor, you should make a golden menorah. Or it talks about the Mizbeach, it says, Va'asisa, in the singular. However, when it comes to the Aron, which is the first object that the Torah tells us to make in the Mishkan, it says there in the Pasuk, V'asu Aron Atzeishitim, they shall make the Aron out of cedar wood. So why does the Torah, first of all, place the Aron first of all the different objects in the Mishkan that you need to erect? And secondly, why is the language V'asu in the plural, they shall make, as opposed to V'asisa in the singular, which is the expression the Torah uses by all the other Kalim? Kadosh Baruch Hu was giving the mitzvah to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'asisa, Moshe Rabbeinu represents Klal Yisrael, says it in the singular. Why here by the Aron does it say V'yasu? So the Medrash says that the reason is, first of all, why is the Aron mentioned first? So the Ramban quotes, it's also based on the Medrash, is that the Ramban says that the main utensil in the Mikdash, the main place in the Mikdash, is the Aron. Because the Aron contains in it the Luchos HaBris. It contains in it the Torah. And the Torah, that is the central part of the Mikdash, which gives the Mikdash its Kedusha. The Ramban elaborates on this idea in the beginning of the parasha, how the Mikdash and the Mishkan are a continuation of the presence of the Shekhinah that was manifest at Har Sinai. It was manifest as well in a miniature form in the Mikdash. And it's a reenactment, so to speak, the Mikdash of Har Sinai, which the Kedusha was the Kedusha of the Torah. So says as well the Medrash, what's the reason why the Aron comes first before all the other Kalim? And why does it say the language Biyasu? Medrash says, Yavohu Hakol V'yasku Ba'aron, all should come and join in the building of the Aron, Kidei She'yizku Kulon LaTorah, in order that this way all people will be able to acquire Torah. And this is very reminiscent of a very famous Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel, where the Rambam writes in Hilchas Talmud Torah the following. The Rambam says, based on the Mishnah Perkei Avos, Bishlosha Ksarim Nechteru Yisrael. The Jewish people received three crowns. What are the three crowns? Keser Torah, Keser Kahuna, the Keser Malchus. The crown of Torah, the crown of kingship, and the crown of priesthood. Keser Kahuna, says the Rambam, Zocha Bo Aaron. The descendants of Aaron, they are going to be Kohanim. They have the crown of Kahuna. Keser Malchus, says the Rambam, Zocha Bo David. That's for the descendants of David HaMelech. He quotes a pasuk. Keser Torah, says the Rambam, when it comes to the crown of Torah, Hare Munach V'Omeid U'Muchon L'Kol Yisrael. The crown of Torah is prepared and it's sitting there waiting for every single Jew to obtain the crown of Torah. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Torah tzivolonu Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us together, the entire nation, the Torah. Morasha Kilas Yaakov. Kol mi sherotze, yava mi'itol. If you want to have the crown of Torah, says the Rambam, all you need is to come and take it. It's there for the taking, for every single Jew could become a muchter bekeser Torah. You get the crown of Torah. Says the Rambam, maybe you'll think that the other crowns are greater. It's more chashuv to be a melech, or it's more chashuv to be a kohen. Says the Rambam, Shema Toimar, maybe you'll say, Sha'ota maktarem gedolim ekeser Torah. Hare uoimer, bi melachim imloichu. V'roiznim yechaykeku tzedek b'yisharim yeshuru halamadita shekeser Torah gadol mishneyem. Keser Torah, says the Rambam, is greater than both other ksarim, than the keser of Kahuna and keser Malchus. And the Rambam says next halacha, quotes the Gemara says, even if a person is, unfortunately, a mamzer, but he's a Talmud Chacham, he gets more, he comes before a Kohen who's an Am Haaretz, a Kohen Gadol who's an Am Haaretz. If you have to save his life, you have two people who are drowning. One is a Kohen Gadol, but he's an Am Haaretz. The other is a mamzer, but he's a Talmud Chacham. You have to save the Talmud Chacham first. Keser Torah is greater. Keser Torah is greater. It's the Gemara in the command of the Gemara in the end of Harius. At least that's how some Rishonim understand the Gemara. So we see that Keser Torah, the Rambam says, is greater than all the other crowns that we were given. And Keser Torah is not given to a particular family, to a particular tribe. It's available for all for the taking. So this is also the idea, what the Torah here says, the Asu Aron. Everyone should participate in building the Aron, so that everyone should have a chance to acquire Torah. That's why the Torah phrases the mitzvah this way, in that it's a commandment to everyone as a nation as a whole. Then I saw Rav Simon Shlita brings down a very, very beautiful Meshech Chachma in this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, again, regarding the mitzvah of the Aron, the Torah tells us a prohibition. It says that the Aron has to have poles attached to it, which they used to be able to carry the Aron. Now the pasuk says, "B'tabois ha'aron yu abadim," the poles should be inserted in the rings that are attached to the Aron. Lo yasuru imenu, and they shall not be removed from it. And the Gemara learns out, Gemara in Yuma, that if a person removes the poles from the Aron, he's violating a lav, v'loy asur mimenu, and he's chayev malchus.
What was the purpose?
But by the other kalim, there's also halacha that they're supposed to have poles, but there's no prohibition that you're not allowed to remove the poles from the other kalim. Why? What's the difference? That's the question that the Meshech Chachma is trying to address, and many other Rishayim as well talk about it. So the Meshech Chachma brings down the following. He brings the same Medrash that we said that the Torah phrased the mitzvah of Asu Aron in the plural in order to teach us that the Aron represents the Torah and that everyone is supposed to be involved in the study of Torah in order to obtain the crown of Torah. The crown of Torah is a crown which all can obtain. So he says that that's also symbolized by this idea of the poles being attached to the Aron and that they're not allowed to be removed. Why? Because he says there's a very, very important mitzvah to support a Talmud Chacham, to enable a Talmud Chacham to be able to learn Torah. To support a Talmud Chacham. He quotes Yerushalmi. That the Yerushalmi says that a person who supports a Talmud Chacham and enables him to sustain himself and therefore learn, so he gets schar for that learning of Torah. He gets schar for that learning of Torah. This is quoted also La Aloch and Shulchan Aruch, that a person who doesn't have time to learn himself, he should support Talmidei Chachamim. He should support yeshivos. He should support places where they study Torah. Because if you support people that are learning Torah, then you get schar for their learning. So says the Meshech Chachma, the poles of the Aron, and the Chavetz Chaim says this as well, the poles of the Aron, they represent the supporters of Torah. The supporters of Torah, they're represented by the poles that are attached to the Aron. The Aron, that represents those that have the Torah, they obtain the Torah, they study the Torah. The poles are like the supporters of Torah. So the Pasuk is telling us that the supporters of Torah, the poles, shouldn't be removed from the Aron. They should always be attached to the Aron in order to have the schus of limudat Torah, that even if they themselves are not learning, but they get the schus of learning Torah through their support of people who do study Torah. And he goes on further, the Meshech Chachma, who says that we know Chazal tell us that the poles were attached to the Aron, seemingly making it look like you need the poles to be able to carry the Aron. But the Gemara tells us that really, and Rashi I think quotes in this week's Parsha as well, that the Aron carried the people who were carrying it. So he says that's also the idea over here in this sense, in terms of the symbolism of the poles of the Aron represent the people who support the Torah. And people many times think that those that support the Torah, they are what's really, they're carrying the Torah, so to speak. They're enabling the yeshivos, let's say, to function and to continue. But really, Chazal are teaching us that it works the other way around. The Aron carries those that carry it. It's the fact that you are supporting Torah, that you have schar for the limud Torah, that now carries you, that gives a bracha to the people who are supporting Torah. This is what Reb Chaim Volozhiner also discusses in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, he points out that he has many, many, many rayas from Chazal and different Midrashim and Zohar, that when a person learns Torah, he brings down blessing into this world. When a person studies Torah, he's like opening the channels of blessing to come down into this world. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that really when a person is learning Torah, he's sustaining the world and he's bringing blessing into the world, which maybe gets distributed to the people that are supporters of Torah. But really the supporters of Torah, the fact that they have the wherewithal to support the Torah, that comes about from the people that are learning Torah. It's a cycle. It works both ways. One is mashpia on the other. So that's one of the ideas of why it says by the Aron that the poles should not be removed from the Aron. But I saw that Rav Simon brings down another idea, which is also relevant for us. He quotes in the name of Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, that Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch says, he asks a question, which was raised here, why is it that we only have this prohibition to remove the poles from the Aron and not from the other objects that are in the Mishkan, like the Shulchan or the Menorah? So Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch says it comes to teach us a very important idea. The fact that the Aron, which represents Torah, has to always have poles attached to it, is that a person is trying to teach us the following lesson. A person shouldn't have a misconception of thinking that the Torah only applies to one place. It could only really be studied in one place. Let's say in Eretz Yisrael. Your year in Israel, that's when you learn Torah. But when you're outside of Israel, you're back in America, you're in whatever yeshiva you're in, so or whatever place you're in, you can't learn Torah because Torah is only in Eretz Yisrael. Says Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, no, it's not true. The Torah is, so to speak, always transportable, right? It's always ready to be on the go. The Aron, it's always ready with the poles attached to it, ready to move. Because you can study Torah and bring it to any place that you're in. Wherever you are, you can learn Torah. You can learn Torah in Russia. You can learn Torah in America, in Argentina, in Israel, wherever you are.
Even in secular college in Michigan.
The Torah travels with you. Wherever you are, the Torah is with you. As opposed to maybe the other Kalim, that the other Kalim says, Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, the other Kalim represent like a bracha for Gashmias, like the Shulchan and the Menorah. So that's only something that you have in the fullest expression, in its proper place. But the Torah doesn't have a set place. The Torah is something which could be accessed and studied, and like the Rambam says, you can acquire the Keser Torah wherever you are. Rav Soloveitchik, when he was in Berlin studying, he was working in Torah on the hardest sugyas in Shas, in Tyrus. If you look in the Igros HaGrid, Igros HaGrid is a sefer that was published, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, after he passed away, which is a collection of letters that the Rav wrote his father in over like a 35, 40 year period of his life. They have many letters that he wrote his father from when he was in Berlin. The letters are dated, and he writes his location, like it says Berlin, Tuf Resh Tzadik, whatever it is, or Tuf Resh Peites. And you look at the letters, what is he writing him about? He's writing him a shtickel Torah and Tyrus. He was writing him Kol HaTorah Kula. Many others, even if they were in maybe an environment where they didn't have a regular morning Seder, they were able to become great in Torah, and the Keser Torah, the Rambam says, it's there for the taking. It's available for us. All you have to do is want it and go and try to obtain it. That's what the Rambam says. And taking this back to tie it all together, I once heard a different shir from the Rav. It's printed also in Shirin L'Zeich Rabbi Mari. It was a yardside shir where the Rav asked, what is this idea of the crown of Torah? What does that mean, a crown? Someone who's a Talmud Chacham, he wears a crown on his head, he walks around with like a crown. What exactly is this idea of a crown? So the Rav explains in that shir that the Rambam says there are three crowns. There's a crown of a king, there's a crown of a Kohen, and there's a crown of Torah. So the crown of a king, you might have thought maybe is a real crown. But the Rav explains that the idea really is that the king and the Kohen, they are elevated in their persona. They become a different personality on a higher level. They're elevated. A king, the special halachas regarding a king. He's on a higher madrega, Kohen Gadol as well. It's talking about a spiritual change that takes effect to the person. He says the same thing is true when a person learns Torah. When a person studies Torah, he gets the Keter Torah, the crown of Torah. What does it mean he obtains the crown of Torah? It means that the Torah changes his personality and endows him with a kedusha, with a holiness that elevates him. He's on a higher madrega than he was before. He's not like a regular person. He's elevated. He has this crown. It's a certain sense like a hashra, a shechina, to tie it back to what we started with in the beginning. V'asu limikdash v'shachanti b'soicham. How do we fulfill v'shachanti b'soicham? If we will make ourselves those individuals who obtain the crown of Torah, then we will have the hashras, the shechina. The shechina will rest upon us, and we will be elevated to a higher madrega. So Bez V'Shem, we will be zoicha to get closer to obtain the crown of Torah and to internalize the different lessons of this week's parasha. And again, this is Le'ilui Nishmas, Rav Moshe Yoina ben Rav Zeva Levi.